Hey, welcome to You Might Have Missed It, the only podcast where Nate and I talk into microphones for like an hour. How are you doing?
I picked up Mortal Kombat X. Spent about 4 hours on that. Believe it or not, decent story mode. Not something you expect from Mortal Kombat.
I watched the story mode being played through, and I'm not necessarily sure I would call it a decent story mode.
Okay. Decent story mode for Mortal Kombat.
That's fair. I mean, that's why you pick up Mortal Kombat, is the deep, engaging, timeless stories they tell.
Exactly. Hell no. No, you pick it up because it's going to be a bloody fucking fist fest. But
so I haven't really played a Mortal Kombat game, I think, since like Mortal Kombat like 3 or something like that. It's been a long time for me. You know, obviously, like many people, I have some wonderful memories of Mortal Kombat and getting those fatalities off. But how's the series? How's it doing? How's it aging?
It's actually, well, I mean, it aged shitty for a while there. Like Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe was fucking terrible.
What? How could that? Sounds like a it was bad. Winning combination.
One word, Aquaman.
No. Hey, he talks to fish.
Exactly.
And apparently he has like a trident for an arm now or something like that.
Oh yeah, no, it was more like when he got his right arm cut off, he actually kind of put a stub on it, and it's actually a hook with a grappling thing, like a chain on it.
So he became Captain Hook.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Only
because that's one way to make your character more edgy. Outfit. Is have him chase Peter Pan.
Exactly. You know, and if he would have gone more for the Captain Hook look, I think it might have actually taken off as a character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sticking with the orange tights and green shirt or whatever the fuck, I think it might have actually been reversed, but who knows?
Yeah.
nobody knows. Nobody pays attention to Aquaman.
No one does.
Yeah. But anyway, so... But yeah, he's that game was the Aquaman of the Mortal Kombat game series. No, Mortal Kombat X actually really picked it up. I'm impressed. The fight system is really good. You actually have you can actually earn what are called easy fatalities, and basically instead of having to go through whatever the fuck button combination, they actually just have you hold R2. Oh, I'm playing it on the PS4, by the way. You hold R2 and push a button and bam, there's the fatality. Good job.
Oh, really? That's interesting, but yeah. It feels less accomplishment.
It feels cheap. Yeah. It's not as much. If you can like pull it off in the button thing, you're like, fuck yeah. If you just hold the button and push something, you're like, and they're dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did they keep like some of the funnier options, like friendship and?
I don't know. Other things? You have to unlock a lot of stuff. I know there's like brutalities and things like that, but I don't know if there's any like friendships or babalities or anything like that weird shit back in the arcade days. Just because, like I said, I only played it for 4 hours, which, you know, it's a good, you know, gameplay, awesome. But there's a lot of shit to unlock in that game.
Well, it surprises me, because I watched the story mode being played through at one point. And what surprised me is how serious that the story seems to be taking, and it actually feels mildly out of place.
It is kind of harsh
within the game series.
Yeah, especially for the environment that it's in, because it really is actually a very much more, like, back in the day there were like two major fighting games. There was Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Street Fighter was like the lighthearted, you had fucking Blanka, for Christ's sake. He's an electrified green guy. But Mortal Kombat was supposedly the more serious one. You didn't have like a story mode, a crazy, basically, you know, just street fight kind of thing with judges and shit. It was you climbed this tower of, and every person you passed up, they were dead.
Well, it was, I don't know if I would say it was like serious, because it was never, I think, intended to be taken seriously. just because of the, you know, the sheer brutality of the whole thing. And then I think it was more meant to be kind of like a farce more than anything else. Like, it was never built as a serious, structure for like stories to run through or something.
Right.
Like that. Right. And then, you know, you see it as the game develops and in the sequels and stuff like that, is it just gets more and more and more and more outlandish as time goes on. And this one, at least to me, seemed to kind of like backstep and try and be like, no, no, wait, guys, we're a serious franchise. Yeah. For cereal.
Well, I think, yeah.
For cereal,
I,
guys.
I think, like, when they made the first one, they didn't really expect to be able to make a second one, let alone 10. And plus, you know, franchise crossovers here and there.
Yeah.
It's like, that was never expected to happen.
Now, to me, the one that was always, like, the serious fighting game was Soul Calibur. And not in the sense that, like, you know, serious competition or something like that, but it just... It certainly had some points where it would poke fun at itself, but never to the level that I think, like, even Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat does.
Oh, no. It always had, like, this, like, the world is going to end unless we get to this guy kind of thing.
Very dark, gothic themes and stuff like that.
I love Soul Calibur. God damn.
Some good memories of Soul Calibur. But, no, it's interesting to see, like, but I do have to say one thing about Mortal Kombat X, at least from having watched it, is that it didn't seem like a bad game overall. You know, putting aside like story and, you know, a perceived lack of silliness, at least from the side of things that I saw. Like watching it, I was like, oh, this seems like what I would want from a fighting game.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's visceral as fuck. There's still blood flying all over the place and everything, just like every Mortal Kombat game. The only thing I really miss about the blood flying all over the place is the little chop sound that it always made when it hit the ground on the old arcade games. That was always funny. I kind of wish I had that little sound as, you know, like my text message alert. That'd be funny.
There you go. You could probably find it.
Probably. But no, I mean, there's blood flying all over the damn place. It's really kind of actually funny. Playing it like versus against people, because like when you get off one of the brutalities, it's in the middle of the fight and you're like breaking their skull in.
Well, because it goes like, to the X-ray view,
exactly,
right?
And like breaking bones and shit like that. And then after that's done, you're like, well, that just happened to me. I'm going to get up and kick your ass now.
Yeah.
What?
Like the amount of internal damage on them and, you know, the stuff that breaks. And it's like that should be lethal.
Exactly. It's like you just punctured his lung twice, ruptured his spleen, and caused a severe fracture in his head. That guy is dead.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't really care if you're like an immortal being, an alien creature, or something like that. The types of internal damage that just happened there are not something that you flip up and shake off and then, you know.
They don't even shake it off. Like, they just stand up and are like, all right, motherfucker, let's do this.
Like Wolverine would not be standing up from most of this damage.
No, he'd be standing up going, fuck.
Yeah. Ow. Give him a couple hours. Exactly. He'll be fine, but.
I need 3 hours and a chimichanga. Oh, wait, no, that's Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah. What did surprise me a little bit, though, about the internal X-ray stuff is that every single fighter, like, has a different X-ray.
Yeah. How weird and is it's, that?
Yeah, no, and, like, the amount of, I guess attention to detail to what each individual's skeletal structure looks like is, it's impressive that they went that far.
Really, you know, it's impressive the fact that you're talking about this because I was having issues watching all the fatalities and you can't even watch me play Surgeon Simulator for fuck's sake.
I think there's a certain level of like intimacy versus spectacle.
Did it hit like the uncanny valley or something like that?
Possibly with that. Or the fact that it's so like prolonged. Like, Surgeon Simulator is just this prolonged, basically, suffering simulator.
It's not suffering. The guy's unconscious.
Well, you get the idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a torture simulator, essentially, to me. Watching, and it's like, ugh, it's why I can't watch, like, Saw movies or a lot of that other stuff, is because they just spend so long on it. Whereas with Mortal Kombat, it's like, it's over really fast.
Yeah.
And then it's so outlandish and cartoony that you can just kind of ignore it. It kind of flits through your brain and then goes away, is how it felt to me. Whereas Surgeon Simulator, it's just like you're still staring at the guy with his chest open, and he's got pencils in his eyeballs. So.
Okay, the chest open guy did not have pencils in his eyeballs.
That's the eyes open guy.
And that guy was creepy as fuck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's just the prolonged uncomfortableness of Surgeon Simulator.
Okay.
And then the other part of it is that, it, you know, Mortal Kombat is ultimately fast-paced enough that you finish with that and then you're on to the next thing so quickly that your brain just doesn't have time to process that as something horrible.
Exactly. You're cracking ribs, pulling out spines, rupturing spleens, and then, you know,
and
you
then
lay
the next
down
second
for a second,
you
stand up and kick some ass.
Yeah, the next second you're hitting the guy over the head with a tree branch, mm-hmm, or an old lady from the background or something like that.
That I thought was funny as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. When I was like, Because there's a button that lights up, like it shows like R1 up by your up by your life bar when you can grab something and use part of the environment in the fight. And I was like, what am I going to use here? There's nothing there. Normally it's like a barrel or some shit. And I hit the button, grab this old lady and throw him at him. I was like, fuck!
Yeah.
Okay. There's actually a part later in Raiden's area.
Yeah.
You actually grab one of the monks and throw him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found that out when Raiden threw a monk at me.
Threw his own monk at you.
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed kind of, you know, outside of his personality, but sure. Yeah.
You know, it's a fighting game.
Why not?
You know, once the fight starts, personality goes out the window.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's no holds barred. It's Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So overall, what's your kind of, what's your state on the game, I guess?
It's good, but wait for it to go on sale.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, obviously I think there's probably some depths that we can't go into because we're not fighting game aficionados in any way, shape, or form.
I don't know. I've played pretty much everyone out there.
That's true. That's true. But tournament level play,
and that
sort of thing, and watching people who actually know how to play these games play,
scary as fuck.
Something completely different. Yeah, it's actually a little frightening.
Yeah, that'd be my buddy Russ.
There you go.
He's amazing.
So yeah, that sounds like a fun, exciting game.
Yeah, wait for it to go 50% off, or, you know, give it a few months. Don't pay $60 for it. I don't think it's worth that. But I mean, it is a really good game. People are still all ape shit about it. That's
people are still talking about it.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, one of the things that you can definitely tell it's new is because of all the server issues. Like, there's a faction kind of thing. They actually have, like, when you first load up the game, you can pick one of the five factions that you want to be a part of. And, like, you pick your faction, and then you go to, and whenever you play the game, you actually, like, gain points for your faction. And then, supposedly, like, a prize at the end of the month or some shit happens. Who the fuck knows? But basically, like, when you try to connect to the server, 9/10 of the time, it's going to give you an error.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah. There's a lot of people logging on to it, so.
That's fair.
I understand. It still sucks, but I understand. Because, I mean, they're looking at, it's just like, you know, the SimCity EA debacles that have all happened, except it's not central to the game. They made it so that that connection was optional. It's not, you know, you have to connect to this like some other companies, which I named shortly ago.
Yeah. Which you named a few seconds ago.
Yeah. So.
No, that's kind of an interesting thing. And I wonder if we're starting to move away from that sort of DRM being standard on games, where it's like online connections for games that don't really need them
yeah.
so much. Just to make sure that you're playing a legitimate copy, in air quotes, which seems to actually hurt actual buyers more than it hurts people trying to pirate the game.
I know. We sit around, you know, pointing at the game going, dick move, EA. Dick move. Oh, I named him again. Dick move, EA.
You did it again. Oh, my gosh.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
EA knows. They know.
EA knows what it did. Many times. Multiple times. Continues to do.
Repeatedly.
Exactly.
I don't know. They didn't fuck up with Dragon Age. Actually, never mind. I take that back.
Nope, they did.
They did. It wasn't, but it was, again, it wasn't a required internet connection. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, so you can get achievements on EA servers. Yay.
Why do Origin I want
took
those?
A shit. That was funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Hey, are you looking for used games? Yes? Come on down to Larry's Discount Game Warehouse. We have all the games you're looking for in all the styles you love. RPG? We have all the end fantasies. Fighting games? Hi-ya! Platformers? You'll be jumping for joy at our selection. Adventure games? Yes. We even have the hottest consoles. PlayStation 1? Definitely. Super Genesis? It's here. DreamCube 4? Probably. Xbox One? Definitely not cardboard. Want to show off your skills? We have weekly competitions with literally dollar in prizes. So what are you waiting for? Come on down to Larry's Discount Games Warehouse off Highway 92, behind the Mini Mart in the paneled van. We're open all the time, but not on Tuesdays because it's my mom's bridge night. See you there! And we're back. Just talked about Mortal Kombat X for a little while. I have also been playing kind of a franchised game. I've picked up Shadowrun Chronicles, which was, I believe, originally Shadowrun Online. It was one of the Kickstarter games around the same time, like Shadowrun Returns was being, after it had been funded, but shortly before that. So when I originally looked at it, I wasn't that impressed by it. And part of that was the graphics seemed a little weird. The concept seemed a little off. And I have to admit that I picked it up because it was on sale.
It looks like Team Fortress.
Yeah, it does. And that's kind of one of the, so Shadowrun is kind of this very, you know, dark and gritty type of universe. It's, you know, very cyberpunk.
Right.
Very, you know, corporate. Dystopia type of thing and very end of the world, situation. And before I start, I have to say I have really mixed feelings about Shadowrun Chronicles. And I believe the tagline right now is Boston Lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And before I even get into the review, I cannot really recommend the game wholeheartedly. Which is hard for me to say because I really like the Shadowrun universe.
I
really enjoyed Shadowrun Returns and, you know, the tabletop stuff and that sort of thing. So it's a fun game, but it's not really a Shadowrun game.
Yeah, and I don't, and him saying that, I don't think you guys understand the gravity of him saying, I can't recommend a Shadowrun game, where I'm even sitting here going, dude, you've talked about almost no games but Shadowrun yeah. since like grade school.
There we go. trying to get games of it going. But so Shadowrun Chronicles, just to give kind of a breakdown, it is a MMO, sort of. But it's a turn-based MMO strategy game. And it's interesting because it has a lot of things that I like. It is very much similar to XCOM, for example, in the way the strategy game works, which is, you know, you have a team of like four runners, essentially, of which you are one, and then you control them through a tactical landscape. So you're finding cover, you're trying to work out synergies between your team, and just trying to survive the missions for the most part. And I say it's like XCOM, not only because of the gameplay, but also because of how actually brutal it is. Healing is not something that you have a lot of, very much like an XCOM. And most of the time, it's not even something you want to use because it uses up your turn and it doesn't actually provide as much benefit as you would want it to. The other side of it is that it's very brutal because you're dealing with very low hit point totals and very high damage. So mistakes are really, really costly within the game. However, unlike XCOM, those mistakes don't actually cost you anything. There's not really a penalty for death in Shadowrunner Chronicles. So essentially it moves from like, oh crap, I just, you know, I lost this really great runner, or I lost this, you know, this part of it over here or something like that. And to like, oh crap, I have to redo the level now. And you're kind of like, meh. All right. So it turns from something where you feel like there's really high stakes to it just being annoying to kind of lose in the level. So it's hard, but without consequences to that difficulty, you just end up feeling frustrated by the game, more than challenged by it. And then when you get to the end of the level or you actually finish it, it's not really a sense of accomplishment. It's more a sense of like, oh, okay, now I move on to the next thing. Which is, I think, unfortunate, because a lot of what makes these types of tactical games really good is that sense of accomplishment and then that sense of like forward momentum, which you just don't get with Shadowrun Chronicles. The other side of it, the other reason I'm a little bit disappointed with it is, the Shadowrun universe. Like I said, fairly dark, fairly gritty, that sort of thing. But the engine that they've decided to use to, bring it to life, he's just none of those things.
It's
colorful. It's cartoony. It's, you know, it's all of the things that Shadowrun really shouldn't be. And I'm not saying that you can't have bright colors and that sort of thing in this world, but, everything feels too clean, I guess. and it's too clean, but still trying to feel a little bit dirty at the same time. And it just clashes with itself too much. The themes of what's going on and then the appearance just, they never gel in your mind. And you never really feel like you're actually part of a world. You feel like you're playing a game. And that's a problem. That's a problem when you're dealing with something as lore heavy and as, I think, story driven as Shadowrun is. It reminds me a lot of Microsoft's attempt at a Shadow game, which was a first-person shooter, which had a lot of the same problems, which is it was a passable first-person shooter, but because they tried to, you know, carry on over within the Shadowrun lineup, it just ended up being a complete miss with both audiences. You know, people who like shooters didn't really like the Shadowrun elements in it, and then people who like Shadowrun just, you know, didn't like anything about the game to begin with.
Okay, so kind of a Spirits Within type of thing.
Exactly. If you took off the words Shadowrun from this game
and just called it like Boston Lockdown,
or, you know, just gave it more of a generic kind of dystopian type thing, or even retooled it completely but kept the same core gameplay, I think you would be okay. Like, I think this would be a fun game. I don't think it would be like a landmark hit by any means. You know, it's not that good. Even within the gameplay, because of those problems I described earlier, which is, you know, that lack of consequences sort of thing.
Right.
It just doesn't feel good. Nothing works within it together. And then even within the storyline that they're telling, it's very linear. And I think they make one really key mistake in it. Like, I wouldn't even mind the story that much if they didn't speak for your character. So I would almost prefer in this game that the protagonist be a silent protagonist, because essentially the protagonist who's supposed to be your avatar, has one speed, and that's snarky jackass. And it's poorly written snarky jackass at the same time. So you end up in this situation where you're like, I don't like my character even. You know, it's not a matter of like skills or anything like that. I just don't like this person. And I'm not saying that, you know, people in Shadowrun are necessarily supposed to be likable. But when they force that down your throat and say, this is who you are in an RPG, that's problematic. They just don't really make any sort of saving graces for your character, because they kind of, the storyline involves this, you know, a lockdown in Boston, and you're, you know, in Boston at this time because of some essentially a strange event that's happening, and it's causing, you know, everything to close down. People are going insane, this sort of thing. And your character the entire time is just uncaring, profit driven. And it's like, really? You know, this is your reaction to this event is, how am I going to get paid?
Okay.
And so you're like, very open about it the whole time. And then you're just, you know, lipping off to everyone left and right. And I'm not saying that's not a fun win to play, but when that's the only option you're given in an RPG, in something that's, you know, Shadowrun, you're kind of like, great. Thanks. This is so much fun.
So unlike like old Shadowrun games, you have zero input on the personality of your character.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Whereas in the tabletop, you're completely the personality. And then like for the other games, you at least still had a decision-making tree kind of thing going on.
Right. And again, I can't compare this game to tabletop. That's not fair to the game.
Right.
Because you cannot compare a game to tabletop. You know, you cannot compare it to sitting down with a DM and freely going through your actions. And I don't want to do that. And I don't want it to sound like I'm doing that. But you look at something like Shadowrun Returns, or, you know, you look at other MMOs or anything like that. And while they don't give your character a lot of choices, like, you know, take a look at WoW, is that, you know, does your character ever actually have any choices or reactions or anything like that? No. But they're still your character. And ultimately, the decisions of like why your character is doing something, or what their reaction to it is, or something like that, is never presented. You know, your character doesn't have agency. But as a player, you kind of do. You can choose to do a task, or you can choose not to. In Boston Lockdown, not only do you as a player not have agency over your character, the storyline is so linear that as a player, you don't have any agency within the game itself. So you end up in this weird place where it's not really an RPG, but it's trying to pretend to be.
Okay.
And that's difficult to gel with, again, the universe and overall the storyline. I also tried out the multiplayer a little bit, and it was interesting, but it never felt good, because you suddenly give up control over part of your squad, which can be problematic and frustrating. And, you know, I'm sure there are very good players out there, and, you know, very good squad mates and stuff like that to meet and play with. But it felt tacked on, which is weird for an MMO. And then to further put some nails into this coffin, the characters themselves, the NPCs that you can essentially hire, but you don't hire them because money never really seems to matter in the game. The characters that you hire on are all one-note characters. So whereas your PC can have multiple skills, so you'll have multiple weapons or multiple abilities or something like that, so you actually have a fairly well-rounded character, the NPCs you hire have one thing. And that makes the tactical side of it just that much more shallow, because your Decker can't do anything against non-human, non-robotic creatures. Like, they're just immune to everything he can possibly do, because he doesn't have a secondary weapon to use against them. And then the same thing with magic users, is they can't affect robotic enemies because they're apparently immune to magic. And it's just this weird sort of situation you get into where you just cannot use these characters against these enemies. And so you just end up being, again, frustrated by the experience, which is unfortunate, because it's a game that has all of these elements that I should really, really like. You know, it's got that tactical gameplay that I really love from like XCOM. It's brutal, like it is in XCOM. So, you know, at least at the end of the fights, I should feel some sort of sense of accomplishment from finishing them. And then it's got Shadowrun on top of it, which should be, you know, a slam dunk in my case, where, you know, I love the storyline and I love the feel of that world. And, you know, anytime I can get to some, spend some time in that world, I'm usually pretty happy. But it ends up just being this mishmash of those ideas, and it never executes well on any of them, much less all of them. And so it just ends up being a really unsatisfying experience overall, which is unfortunate because, again, I really want to like this game.
So they went with basically art style, terrible. Story, non-existent.
And again, the art style isn't money, terrible.
Now you said, like, so your main character is, the written personality is basically all fed by greed, but mm-hmm. money doesn't mean a damn thing.
It means something in, like, the first early levels when you're okay. trying to get new weapons and stuff like that. But again, you know, that fades so quickly to the point where by the end of the point where I'm at, I've got so much money and nothing to do with it.
Oh, Christ.
yeah. And so it's just kind of you end up in this position where you're like, great, what do I do with all of this money?
So it goes from being necessary to being like, ooh, high score.
Exactly. And maybe it doesn't continue like that into the later game, but I'm having some real trouble trying to get myself to that point. So if this is, you know, an issue, like maybe these issues get fixed the further you get into the game. But it's getting that far that's kind of tough. And again, you know, I'm 8 hours into this. I'm a full, you know, day into this game and I'm no longer having fun with it.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I stopped having fun at around hour seven. No, sorry, not hour seven. Hour five.
Oh my god!
And pushed myself for 3 more hours because I'm like, there's gotta be something about this game.
It's gotta get good. It's Shadowrun, damn
exactly.
It.
Or it's not even like Shadowrun. It's like I like this type of gameplay. You know, I would go back and play XCOM right now. That's what this is making me want to do.
Stop playing this and go play XCOM.
Exactly, and that's I think one thing that I kind of came to a realization about around like hour seven is one of the reasons that I don't enjoy it is that you've only got the one character that you control and that you're playing, and as I was kind of prepping for this episode, I was thinking, like, you know, what would actually make me really enjoy this game more is if you controlled a squad of Shadowrunners. You know, you created each one individually, or you hired them and then nurtured them or something like that, and then sent them, you know, onto these missions and stuff like that and brought them back. Like, that would be an interesting way to play the game, is that you play as the fixer for a group of Shadowrunners.
Well, and that could also, because you were saying, you know, you don't have, when you lose a mission, there's no consequence. I mean,
yeah, you go back in and retry.
Yeah, if you run into, if they instituted like permadeath, like maybe not for the main character, like they end up in the hospital or some shit. I'm not a writer, so fuck that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if you've built up, you know, this squad and all of a sudden they're fucking dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you take a look at something like XCOM, for example, and again, a lot of this is, you know, I think basically if you took the XCOM gameplay and the shell and, you know, maybe took out like the research and, you know, building part of it and just had the runner management and then, you know, maybe a slight base management type of sub game going on or something like that. And, you know, your runners go down and you can stabilize them, but then they're, you know, or they get injured or something like that. Ooh. And suddenly your stable of runners is down for X number of days or X number of missions. Well, so you have to sub stuff in for it.
You could even do it kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics. Remember, like when over the course, because Shadowrun Chronicles is turn-based, right?
Yeah.
You had the turn-based combat in Final Fantasy Tactics where, you know, if one of your people went down, you had this many turns to either finish it or get this guy up, or they're fucking gone.
Yeah, and that's the same way it is with XCOM as well, which is why I keep bringing that particular one up.
There you go, yeah.
And again, the brutality of the system in the sense that, like, in an instant, like in a single turn, I've lost a guy because I put him into the wrong position. And, you know, the entire game, you're looking for flanking shots. You're looking for ways to improve the tactical side of it. And they've got that down pat. Like, that gameplay is good. But because there's no consequences to those type of mistakes other than losing time, again, it's just frustrating instead of being fun or interesting in any sort of way. And then some of the mission types are a little bit wonky as well. There's one where you have to defend a specific point and prevent the enemy from getting to it. But the scaling is so off at that point that you can't kill things fast enough to stop them from getting through to the other side. So it's just kind of like, meh. And, you know, you hit these sorts of walls as you go through, which is, again, really unfortunate.
So,
but anyway, I think there's a good
in
game.
In summary.
Yeah. In summary, I can't recommend this game right now. Maybe with a retooling of the systems, maybe if there was something else to do with it, it would be more fun. But again, I can't recommend a game based on a game in my head that I think would be really fun that this game is not. Maybe if you have like a group of friends that you regularly play with, you may find this game to be really fun. Like, you know, synergizing your own characters with each other. You can kind of build the game that I'm talking about among, you know, four people. But again, as it stands right now, that game is not what this is. So, you know, maybe if you have four friends who are really into Shadowrun, go crazy on it. But if you're playing, you know, by yourself or, you know, you're just hoping to run into random groups and stuff like that, give it a pass. You know, go pick up XCOM and enjoy the turn-based strategy there, and go pick up Shadowrun Returns and, you know, live through the story and have fun in the world there. So, you know, I think there's just two games that do both of the elements that you really want from this one so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, pick up XCOM and just imagine that instead of aliens, you're doing runs on corporations. So
there you go. Done.
Done. We've built the game. We're done. We've saved it. Anyway, yeah, Shadowrun Chronicles, formerly Shadowrun Online, I believe. So, not a great game.
Yeah.
Well, so now I'm going to go cry in a corner.
Oh, shit. So I remember the movies that I watched.
Oh, well,
actually, less remember the movies and remembered that I had bought them on Amazon and looked up which ones they were.
I see.
It was Jupiter Ascending and Seventh Son.
So I'm curious about Jupiter Ascending because I read reviews on it and they were not complimentary towards the movie.
Yeah, no, and they shouldn't have been.
Okay.
Yeah. If you plan on watching them, they're decent movies. I mean, they're great for like a, you know, sit down. I've got 2 hours to waste. And that's what they were for me, except I made the mistake of buying them instead of renting them. But yeah, if you've got a Redbox nearby, $1.50, totally do it. If you plan on spending $20 to buy them, yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm probably going to wait and see if they ever come on Netflix.
I can tell you right now, I'm surprised Seventh Son isn't there already, because that is literally like a Netflix movie. It is almost perfect for Netflix.
Speaking of Netflix, do you have Netflix? Or
I do still have Netflix, yes.
Have you watched Daredevil?
God damn it. No, and my buddy CJ has been telling me I need to watch it, and I haven't yet. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do have to say you do need to go watch Daredevil and then go binge it this week. And then next week we're going to come back with a Daredevil review.
Okay.
Okay. I think so because I will say I enjoyed it.
Did you finally watch Avengers?
The new Avengers movie? No, I haven't had a chance to go out and get to the theaters yet. Okay. I'm almost thinking I may not end up being able to get out to it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. We'll wait till it comes out on Blu-ray.
There we go.
Because I will still be talking about it because the movie is awesome.
I'll pick it up on Amazon when it becomes available on the streaming services.
Oh, like 2 weeks before it comes out on Blu-ray?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then we can talk about it.
Exactly. Actually, that's probably what I'm going to do too.
There you go. We'll have a viewing party. We'll have a live viewing party.
Yeah, we'll be watching it live and be like, that was fucking funny.
You won't be able to see the movie while we're watching it live because of, you know, issues with streaming and rights and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you'll just
I don't get
our
arrested.
Reactions.
Like, we could do that. We have the technology. We
The technology is there.
But no.
The laws are also there, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
And the army of lawyers is ever present.
So. I don't know. We could do, even Mystery Science Theater had to get licensing for the movies and stuff.
Exactly.
Which is actually why I think they always got like old cheap ass movies. Cause it's
that's definitely why.
Yeah. I can just imagine them being like, hey, to the production company, like, we'll give you $20 if you let us use this shitty movie on our show.
I'm sure it was a little bit more than that, but
a lot of times they would also use
movies that ended up in the public domain and stuff like that, which is why you see a lot of shorts and stuff like that from them. So, like, you know, Mr. Be Natural and other classics.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm sure that I have told you about this, but it bears repeating. Have you gone and watched like a Riff Tracks?
No, I haven't watched Riff Tracks. And yes, you've told me about Riff Tracks quite extensively.
You need to go and check out their catalog, because if you loved Mystery Science Theater 3000, you love that sort of humor and the writing and stuff like that, it is well worth going and picking up either one of the MP3 tracks for like a more popular movie, like The Avengers. You know, it's a good movie. The original Avengers movie is a great movie. Don't get me wrong. It became infinitely better when I watched it through with their commentary on it. Like, just hilarious stuff that they go through there. And one that I've been planning on picking up for a little while here is, and you're going to laugh, but the Riff Tracks for Twilight.
Oh, fuck, really?
Because it ended up in Netflix. I think it's actually still available on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And
so
while
Twilight's
I would
Netflix,
never, ever pay money to rent that movie, if it's just part of my Netflix subscription, then yeah, I might go and pay, you know, $4 or $5 to pick it up, because it's actually, from reading reviews and having seen a couple clips of it, it's hilarious how bad Twilight actually is and how much it fits within that style of like riffing that they do. Because, part of what made MST3K so good is that the movies were so bad and there were just so many moments to like throw in and make fun of stuff. And Twilight has that same DNA.
Oh, and it's the same guys.
Yeah, it's the exact same guys. Second season, like the second half of MST3K. So it's Mike Nelson, Bill Corbett, and Kevin Murphy who did the, so after Joel, who was the original host of MST3K, went off. They're the ones who kind of took over for him. And then even beyond that, it's like basically the cast after the Comedy Central era.
Right.
Is kind of the way you would look at it. But
they're still fucking hilarious.
It's still hilarious. And I mean, you know, they have some, I think, the best... some of the best stuff in there. Actually, during Christmas, when my family came over to the house, I picked up some instant Christmas classics to watch from Riff Tracks, including Santa Claus versus the Martians. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I just went to their Christmas collection, and it's like,
and
okay.
Then Slot the Goat, which is frightening beyond belief. And just get slightly more frightening with them riffing over it. So.
Zlata the Goat.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. best $2 I've spent on Christmas.
All right. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Santa Claus, Punch, and Judy.
Yeah, there are some there is some stuff.
there are things.
I've seen some shit, man.
I've seen some shit would blow your mind.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely recommend checking it out. And if you've got some, you know, got some extra time and some extra cash lying around and you want to, get your money's worth, definitely worth picking up a Rift Trax. Anyway, this has been You Might Have Missed It, the video game podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Nathan.
And you can always, of course, talk to us over on Twitter at YMHMI, Facebook, facebook.com/YMHMI, and probably some other places. You can catch our replays over at youtube.com/YMHMissedIt. And we occasionally stream over on twitch.tv/YMHMI. I will be streaming next Sunday at noon. So, Mountain Standard Time. So you can catch me then. And, you may, follow the channel because occasionally I will stream during the week. This last week, I didn't get much of a chance to do that. Had some other stuff that I had to do. So didn't really get any extra streams in, unfortunately, which also means that I didn't get very far in my, attempts to push to Legendary and Hearthstone.
So right.
I got a couple games in here and there. Just on my own, on my phone, and just standing on the computer type of thing, but nothing that would have been long enough for me to be able to stream. So
right, and I do plan on, and today, release day is Tuesday. Today, The Witcher 3 came out. Sorry, I cannot live stream that. Literally cannot. Our channel will be banned if I do.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Have they actually come out and been like, nope, no streaming?
No nudity at all whatsoever on Twitch, ever.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, I will be recording my gameplay, but I'm going to cut the shit out of it, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will be recording it, but I will be editing it and cutting it together. And basically, it's going to be, it's not going to be like our live stream. It's basically just going to be like a clips stream kind of thing. I'm also doing the same thing. Just in case you guys don't know, I found the Broforce stream. we thought we lost it, but I found it. So we have it, but it's 2.5 hours long, or almost 3 hours long. So I'm actually going to have to cut that. Otherwise, it's going to take me probably a day or three in order to get it all re-encoded and re-uploaded.
Okay. Well, cool beans. Actually, you can actually watch the VODs on Twitch.
Is the Broforce one still there?
Yep.
Oh, both what the fuck am I doing?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. It wouldn't transfer over to... For some reason, I tried to transfer it to YouTube like three times, and it just wouldn't.
Yeah, and I tried the same thing, and then for some reason, it wouldn't go over there. So,
yeah, so I'm going to cut this shit out of it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, so it's possible we may be able to get it over there, but we'll see. Yeah.
You never know.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week. So I was thinking we need some way to break the podcast up a little bit more.
Break the podcast up?
Yeah, we're just breaking the podcast up. No, what I mean is...
We're done!
Yep, we're breaking it up. We're breaking up, Nate. It's not you, it's you.
Oh my God! I'm done. Fuck this shit.